Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. Adam Pfeiffer here. Joe Metz back with me as always. But we're also joined by a third member of the FTN Daily crew. Joe, first off, how are you? And why don't you introduce who we have on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Excited to be here as usual. With us today is one of my fellow Inside the NBA on TNT members, Javi Perlezzo. When we were on our last live stream with me, him, and David, someone dubbed us the Inside the NBA crew, and that was probably the nicest compliment that I've received in my time at FTN.
Yeah, we kind of dubbed Kyle Murray as the fourth, but he was like the one, oh, we feel bad, let's put him in there, you know? So
I'll have to get on GIF and make something today and throw it in the Slack after this.
Let's do it.
It's a great idea, but yeah, I would say that's an elite compliment, if anything.
I just don't want to be Chuck. That's the only thing I don't want. Like, give me anyone except Chuck. I'm from the same hometown as Ernie Johnson, so I think that's only fitting.
That's fair.
That works. Yeah, David Jones can be Chuck because he pronounces his name wrong. So. If you're listening to this, David, you're Chuck.
We have 9 games here on Wednesday. Recording this a little bit earlier, so if you're listening, we're recording this while the Brooklyn Nets are continuing to give up points at a ridiculous rate. So that hasn't changed from the past 2 weeks. It's kind of crazy. You bring in James Harden, and all of a sudden defense gets worse.
Yeah, and they're. They're on the slate, too, which is exciting. So can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, let's get right into it then. We start with Toronto and Washington. Really interesting point guard price tags in this game. Russell Westbrook sat in their last game on Monday because he doesn't play in back-to-backs or hasn't yet. But he'll be good to go in here. And Kyle Lowry's off the injury report. He left Monday's game with a back injury after playing just 8 minutes, but he's good to go. Both their price tags really stand out, but especially Russell Westbrook, Javi. Let's start with you. Joe and I have talked on this podcast a lot about how Westbrook is too cheap when he's 9K flat because of his rebounding role in this team. It's similar to what he had in Oklahoma City. The usage rate's not quite what it was there because Bradley Beal's been arguably the best scorer in basketball this year. But at 8,400, I mean, Russell Westbrook, that's tough to pass on.
Yeah, no, it's a dumb price if you think about it. Like Toronto, when they start off the year, they struggled defensively. They've got a little bit better, but they're still bottom 10 in defensive efficiency. They're playing at a pretty fast pace, so you can still target this. $8,400 Russell Westbrook is music to my ears. My fear, though, is one chalk, but then again, I don't care about NBA chalk. If it's a good play, it's a good play. And the second thing is Kyle Lowry defense. Like, I still believe that's a thing. Like, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, those are guys that I don't really want to target. Marcus Smart's another guy. These are guys that I don't want to target against their defense. And Kyle Lowry is going to cover Russell Westbrook here. So that is a little worrisome for me. But at this price, with the triple-double upside, rebounding upside, assist, everything – all the upside in the world at 8,400, you can't ignore Russell Westbrook's price tag here.
Yeah, like if he was 9,500 or something, then I'd factor in maybe some Kyle Lowry defense. But at this price, like he has a great chance to do what he's kind of been doing, right? Like 15 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. And like the rebounds are just ridiculous. He's averaging 13.5 rebounding opportunities per game. That is the most among all guards. And if you look at it just among players that don't play power forward or center, it's also number one in the league. So it's just there. Even when Thomas Bryant was healthy, I watched a lot of the games. Like he would just do what Steven Adams did a lot in Oklahoma City and just let him get the rebounds. So it's hard not to like Russ at that price. Joe, we've talked a lot about Westbrook at 9K. I'm assuming you agree with this price tag that it's just too low.
Yeah. Yeah, see, my thing is, like, you and I talk about the difference between a Russell Westbrook triple-double and a Ben Simmons triple-double and how drastic that difference is. Russell Westbrook is now priced at Ben Simmons' price. It just doesn't make sense to me. This is a play that I'll probably smash in the lineup right away.
Yeah. If you want to go to Beal, we've seen the upside. He still has like a 35% usage rate with Westbrook on the floor, but for me, not really like a priority on this slate. Mm-hmm. and then the rest of Washington's pretty gross. I mean, Denny's minutes finally came back up in the last game, but again, that was with Westbrook out, and he grabbed 10 rebounds, so I don't think that's going to be repeatable. Hachimura is the one that's played pretty consistent minutes, and he played 36 last game. 5,500, like, if we don't have great mid-range options at power forward, you could talk me into Rui Hachimura, but other than that, is anybody else for you guys on Washington?
No Washington, mainly the Toronto side, more than just Russell Westbrook on Washington, really.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. It's hard for me to get to these secondary pieces when Westbrook is active, just because he soaks up so much, not only usage, but peripheral production, which takes away from the Denny's, the Ruiz, and like the Davis Bertans, where I'm like Javi, more comfortable just playing Westbrook over Beal, and then pivoting and running it back with at least one or two Toronto players.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about Toronto then. Kyle Lowry priced down to 7,300 after pretty much missing the entire game. This is a really cheap price tag for him, especially against the Washington defense that ranks 25th against primary ball handlers. Maybe the back flares up, but look, we know that Lowry, VanVleet, Siakam are going to play 35 to 38 minutes in competitive games. So if Washington can keep this game close, I kind of really like Kyle Lowry at that price tag. What do you think about Toronto, Joe? We'll start with you.
I like Toronto a lot, and I never have any qualms, especially in a matchup like this, with any of those top three guys. It's all just price dependent in terms of how I want to end up prioritizing them. I'm looking at FanDuel specifically, and Kyle Lowry, 7,600, is a phenomenal price. He is $1,700 cheaper than Fred VanVleet, who's 9,300. So I think on FanDuel, it's an obvious play there, and who I prioritize. And Pascal Siakam sitting there at $9,400 as well. So Lowry by far and away is my favorite. I do for him like the matchup with Russell Westbrook as well, because we know he likes these kinds of matchups. He picks up peripherals. So both sides, I'm targeting Kyle Lowry pretty heavily. And I feel confident saying it. This is a spot that I want to smash Chris Boucher. His minutes have stabilized. I'm sure he's going to be popular, but his price still has not come up to his production over his last three games. He's seen 26 minutes in all three of those. So it went 26, 32, 29. He was one rebound shy of having a double-double in all three games. And you know Boucher gets fourth quarter blowout run. This game has a lot of blowout potential, even with Westbrook active, just because Washington has been such a train wreck. Where I think Boucher, dollar for dollar, is probably the best play on this team after Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I mean, if these are the minutes we're going to get back to seeing from Chris Boucher, he's almost $2,000 underpriced, given how efficient he is. Nearly 1.3 fantasy points per minute, a 28% rebounding rate, massive block rate. Wizards are also 26th against opposing benches and 28th against stretch fives. So Boucher and Washington, like, they'll play Robin Lopez a little bit. They'll play, you know, they'll mix in maybe some Mo Wagner, but like, they don't have a center where you feel like you have to play Aaron Baines 35 minutes at any circumstance in this game. And it was encouraging that he played 29 minutes against, you know, Joval in Memphis last game as well, and then 33 against Atlanta. So, Javi, what do you think about Boucher and the rest of Toronto?
Yeah, I've been smashing Boucher the last few slates because he's been, he was 4,500 three games ago, then 4,400. His price went down after a 32 DK point game. And then now he went up to 5,400, and now he's 5,900. Like, he's too cheap. Joe hit the nail on the head there. So I like pairing Boucher with one of Siakam, VanVleet, Lowry. My preference is Lowry because of price. 7,300, that's way too cheap for a guy like Kyle Lowry here. But if you want leverage on the field, I don't think I'll get to Siakam. It's going to be VanVleet. Like, his price tag is very expensive on DraftKings at 8,600. But going against Washington, this is just a pace up. And if this matchup stays close, I can see two Toronto guys being optimal. If it's a blowout, Boucher's definitely going to be optimal. So I like going Lowry or VanVleet. As everybody at FTN and in the world that knows Javi, I like to play Lowry or VanVleet. I don't ever like to play them both together. So one or the other works, and then going with Boucher is my favorite play to do here.
I agree. Lowry and Boucher stand out the most. They're just – Boucher is still somebody that – in cash, it still scares me a little bit, but this should be a matchup where you don't think his minutes fall out from under him. would prefer him in tournaments, but like in this spot, you might be able to get away with it in cash. And Lowry, yeah, he's fine in either format at that price tag. Really tough to pass on him. Anything else from this game?
No.
Nope. I think we're good to go.
All right, let's go to Atlanta and Dallas. We got another matchup between Luka and Trae Young. Luka coming in at 10-8 on DraftKings. I have a lot of interest in Luka here, obviously. Should be a relatively fast-paced game. Atlanta's defense isn't anything to fear. We saw Luka not too long ago go off for 64 fantasy points against Atlanta. That was on February 3rd. Javi, we have a 9-game slate here where you have Giannis, you have Luka, you have the Brooklyn guys still without Kevin Durant. You have LeBron James. So you have plenty of studs to pay up for. Is Luka your favorite here?
I mean, at 10-8, I think he's too inexpensive to ignore here. It's Luka, right? You know, Kristaps Porzingis had a game last time around against Minnesota, and Luka was a big bust against Minnesota. And the reason I faded Luka was because of I feared blowout potential. I didn't expect this game to be close and then Kristaps to go crazy. But the last time they played against each other, Luka had a 64 DK point game against Atlanta. Atlanta is a terrible defense, and even Dallas is a terrible defense. They've been playing terrible. Bottom 10 of defensive efficiency here. Both these teams are really bad defensively, and it's going to be a pace-up game. So I like Luka. He's probably my favorite spend-up spot here because he's 10-8. I don't know why he's under 11K or even under 12K. We haven't, you know, the last two slates he's been 11-1, and now he's priced down to 10-8. I get he didn't do well last time against Minnesota, but this is just such a great spot. I mean, there's so many bad defenses on this slate. You know, Washington, Atlanta, Dallas, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Minnesota, Chicago. Like, I'm basically going in order of our games. So there's so many targets here, and you have to take a stand. And really what I want to do, though, my stand is to play Luka against Trae Young. You know, there's a narrative where they're friends and whatever. You've seen the picture that David Jones has posted. But I like Luka in this spot quite a bit. I don't want to go anywhere else in this game. Unfortunately, I don't want to go Trae Young either, even though, like I said, it's a great matchup for him. You know, the last time they played, he only had 41 DK points, so wasn't the best game by him. He has had over 50 DK points in 6 of his last 7 games. This is Trae Young, but he's been banged up, and I feel like he's still banged up. So I don't want to go Trae Young. I think I'm going to spend up elsewhere. You know, I think Toronto's going to go overlooked, which we just talked about. They're pretty sneaky. So Luka's my favorite spend up, though.
Yeah, Luka's fourth in the league in isolation scoring. Atlanta's defense this year, fourth most isolation points allowed per game at 7.5. And they just don't have anybody that can guard him, especially with DeAndre Hunter out. Like, he was their best candidate to try to slow Luka down, and he's obviously not going to be back for a little bit. So, yeah, I think Porzingis is fine, but now he's getting priced up after a huge game to where you have to debate between Porzingis and a Sabonis, you know, in the same price range and a handful of other players that we might like. For Atlanta, Trae Young, like, Dallas, for whatever reason, they've been really good against guards this year. They've actually defended guards pretty well. So Trae Young, like, if you want to run it back, I get it. But I might be more interested in John Collins or Clint Capella here. I mean, we saw Collins go crazy in this matchup. I'm not expecting a similar game. He went 16 of 21 from the field and 3 of 4 from 3. So I would rather go up to Capella against a team that in Dallas, I mean, Luka is among the league leaders in drives per game. This team, it takes a lot of their shots at the rim, so it's good for Clint Capella's shot blocking potential. And then the other end, they give up the third highest field goal percentage at the rim, and that's great for Clint Capella. Joe, what do you think of Atlanta?
I'm all over the Atlanta front court. Clint Capella obviously being a phenomenal play. I can't sit here and say I would prioritize Capella at the same price over Porzingis, but if I'm looking for Atlanta exposure, Capella would probably be where I start, simply because of how bad Dallas is around the rim. We know how much Atlanta likes to run the pick and roll and get him down there, so I absolutely love his upside. But because I am so high on Porzingis, if I'm not playing Luka, it's hard for me not to look at John Collins as one of my favorite Hawks, especially at 7,500. You know, earlier in the season when Capella came back, we saw him really struggle to kind of get acclimated to playing at the four. That's not the case anymore. Like, he has been super, super consistent as of late. Only one game below 30 fantasy points in the last 8 games. He's had multiple over 45. One over 50. Like, he has a ton of upside in the appropriate matchup, and given how bad Dallas is around the rim, especially within 5 to 9 feet. I absolutely love the John Collins play for his price, and I don't think he'll be popular.
I still struggle with him, especially at this price.
Yeah, me too. Sorry.
No, you're good. Go for it.
I can't trust John Collins unless Capella's out. Like, his ceiling and his upside is just – I get he went crazy, but he's not going to shoot like that again. No. I just feel
he also
like
had 12
just...
rebounds, which has been, for the most part, an outlier. Since when Capella's been in lineup, John Collins has been like a 6 to 8 rebound guy, which is fine, you know, but it's not – if he's not scoring, like he's going to give you like 15 and 8 at the least. Like, that's the floor for John Collins most games. But, I don't know. Like, I see this as more of a Capella game. Like you mentioned, Joe, they're going to run the pick and roll through him. Dallas is allowing 8.8 points per game to the roll man. It's the fourth most in basketball. They're allowing a 50% field goal percentage off the play type. Like, they're a bad pick and roll defense, and they still have yet, even with Porzingis back, they struggle to defend the rim. So I'm on team Capella, but I get the Collins appeal. I do. I mean, he's just, the price is still fair for him, and he's been better lately. What about these wings, Kevin Huerter, Cam Reddish? I mean, we have still yet to see Gallinari explode in minutes, but he did play his 25 last game. He's 4,500. They said he was going to be on a 25-minute restriction for that game against Toronto. He played exactly 25 minutes. If we get word that he's going to play 30 or so, he could be in play at 4,500. Do these wings stand out?
No, I mean, I prefer them if Trae Young was out. And, you know, he seems to be healthy now. So I think it's a good spot to just fade him overall.
Herter's playing huge minutes, but what happens if Gallinari might start to come back up?
Yeah, that scares me. And then Herter's so one dimensional and scoring only and hitting his shots, and he can do it against Dallas, but I'm off of it.
Joe,
It's hard for me to justify these guys on a full slate. I just don't see the need. Herter's fine. If I'm choosing between the two, even between him and Reddish, with Reddish having a bit of a price bonus or a benefit at being what $800 cheaper, I still prefer Herter just because of the ceiling we've seen this year. But I just feel so much more confident in both Collins, Capella, even Trae Young, where I don't really feel a need to go there unless I'm full stacking this game.
All right, let's go to the Pacers at the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn in the third quarter against Detroit as we record this. This will be the second end of a back-to-back for the Nets. Kevin Durant not eligible to return until Friday, so they'll be without him again here, which means James Harden at 10-4, Kyrie Irving at 9-1, assuming they're not resting, which we'll have to keep an eye on. Wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie rested in this game. If any of them rested, I would guess Kyrie would be the one, but we'll see. But, I mean, this is low-key an important game for, like, seeding the Eastern Conference. If they're playing Indiana, the season's already a little bit shorter than usual, so maybe they don't rest anybody. Joe, let's start with you. I mean, are we just going right back to Harden and Kyrie? I mean, they're both okay right now. I'm sure they'll finish with strong games when it's all said and done. But this was a three-man team in terms of usage when Durant's there. Now it's easily a two-man usage. It's just going to be like kind of like Paul George and Kawhi. Just both these guys are going to be over a 30% usage rate.
Yeah, I mean, they both make sense at their prices without Kevin Durant. My concern here, I'm curious to see if both of them play. You know, I think it was last week they had a back-to-back, and I believe Kyrie sat.
It was I don't know if it was the Sixers game that he popped up with a finger injury, and they sat. Mm-hmm. He sat against Philly. Like, he probably could have played.
Yeah, I just if they both play, I have interest in them. I do slightly prefer James Harden over Kyrie. When it comes to individual matchup, I'm much happier to target James Harden than I am Kyrie Irving against Malcolm Brogdon. I also think both of them are just a bit underpriced with Durant out of the picture. But, I mean, transparently, my interest in this game is 100% on the Indiana side.
I mean, how popular are Brogdon and Sabonis going to be at their prices?
I mean, they should.
Especially Brogdon.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to absolutely love Sabonis at 8-6. Like, I view Sabonis tomorrow at 8-6 as almost egregious as Vucevic was at 8-2 against the Bulls that first game. Well, I'm not sitting here expecting 70-plus fantasy points, but, like, the matchup, the price, like, it just makes so much sense for Sabonis. And Brogdon at 7-4, this is the cheapest I've seen him in quite some time. Like, he's been consistently in that $8,400 to $8,600 range just about all season.
Yeah, he's been under 40 fantasy points in four straight, but I mean, I talked about it in my article. The Nets coming into Tuesday night have allowed 120 points or more in 9 of their last 10 games. Detroit slowed down the second quarter, but they could get there and make it 10 of the last 11. But you know, just simply put, this is a bad defense. Brogdon's going to play 36 minutes. He and Sabonis still both top 5 or 6 in touches per game. It's hard not to love both of them. I guess the question is, do we go to any of these secondary plays from either team this game? I think Miles Turner at 6K flat is intriguing. I don't see how DeAndre Jordan or Jeff Green, if he plays minutes at the five in this game, slow him down. I know they just signed Noah Vonleh, and he was available for tonight's game, so we'll see. But it's not going to matter. Javi, do any of these secondary pieces from either team, Pacers or Brooklyn, interest you?
No, and I think I just started getting my mic working, so I apologize that you guys were just on my AirPods. But my placeholder lineup has Brogdon and Sabonis with a Brooklyn run back right now. I feel like Harden or Kyrie will sit one or the other. We've seen that happen quite a bit. If I had to guess, it's Harden because he's been sitting a few back-to-backs. But I want a heavy exposure to this game. You know, Indiana has actually not been that great defensively. They've actually, you know, I don't like to target Brogdon defense, but he's actually been struggling this year. They've been playing at a faster pace too, which might be the reason why. So I want to target this game. Like, I want to have like a mini game stack, and I definitely want two Pacers. It's going to be Brogdon and Sabonis. I don't want any other Pacers, and I definitely want to bring it back with a Brooklyn guy. It's most likely going to be one of Kyrie or Harden here. And I'll like it even more if one of them sits. But we'll have to stay tuned for news, really.
Yeah. If one of them sits, like, this game is going to be relatively popular, I would imagine, regardless, just because of the prices on the Pacers. But if one of Harden or Kyrie sit, then it becomes even more popular. And I think a lot of people will just kind of do that placeholder lineup, Avi, like you said, just play Sabonis and Brogdon and run it back with whoever's playing from Brooklyn. And it's not even like we need an insane amount of value because Brogdon and Sabonis are so cheap compared to what they normally are.
Whoa. Sorry. Vassell is making his first start as a Spur today. Announced.
Yep.
I missed that. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I think I heard Kweisenberg cheer from wherever he is right now. All right, let's move on then. Charlotte at Memphis. Devontae Graham, we already got word on Tuesday night that he will sit this game on Wednesday night. So this will be his third straight absence. We're seeing LaMelo Ball kind of become a star as of late. He had an incredible game against Houston last time out. Hit 7 of 12 shots from 3, added 10 assists and 7 rebounds. $8,500, it's expensive, but with Devontae Graham out, I mean, Devontae Graham plays like 35, 36 minutes a game. So you know the minutes are going to be there for Melo. Javi, are you still comfortable going to LaMelo Ball at this price tag in this spot?
Oh man, I mean, we've talked about it. Like, I like spending up elsewhere. Unfortunately, and it keeps burning me every time because the guy goes crazy every game he plays. Except the one chalky one. Then he didn't go off that one. But Memphis has been playing at a slower pace this year. Their defense is actually much better. It used to be a defense we used to target. I don't like this game, to be honest. As bad as Charlotte's been defensively, they've actually improved over the last 5 to 10 games here. I don't want to go to an 8,500 LaMelo Ball. He's probably going to start again. Devontae Graham is confirmed out. The usage is there. It could be a sneaky game stack there, but I mean, like I said, such a big slate. You got to take a stand somewhere, and I think this is the stand I'm going to take, especially if LaMelo Ball is going to get ownership because of his recent performance for those game log watchers. But again, If it's a good play, it's a good play, right, Joe? That's what we've been saying with David. Yep. But for me, I feel like today, or not today, but for this slate, this is not the route I want to go. I just love a ton of other matchups, like targeting Brooklyn, targeting Atlanta, targeting Washington, targeting Minnesota and Chicago, which are next, even Denver. So it's just other spots that I want to go other than this game.
Joe?
As sticker shocked as I am at first glance looking at LaMelo's price, and please no one call him Melo. He is LaMelo until Carmelo Anthony retires. That has been something that's like grinded my gears over the course of this season. As expensive as he feels, he has completely justified this price. Like, he has been absolutely phenomenal. Even like he hasn't been, you know, recording these consistent triple doubles, but like, look at his game log. That's all you have to look at. Like 34, 4, 8, 19, 7, 5, 24, 10, 7. Like his floor right now is probably about 34, 35 fantasy points with his role. Memphis does play at a bit of a slower pace. It is a little higher with John Morant back. They have been playing better defensively, but like I don't, with LaMelo, I really don't think that matters. He and my is quickly developing into a superstar, and he won't be in like my main lineup, but I want 100% want LaMelo Ball exposure.
Just straight up, do you like LaMelo Ball or Russell Westbrook more? $100 difference on DraftKings.
Russell Westbrook.
Yep, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, I agree. We're all on the same
I'm
page
curious
there.
Who will have more ownership though, because LaMelo Ball's ownership has still been pretty high as his price has gone up.
Yeah. With Devontae Graham off the floor this year, 25.5% usage, 22% rebounding rate and assist rate. 1.2 fantasy points per minute. Gordon Hayward's at 26% usage rate and 1.14 fantasy points per minute. At 7'7", he's viable. Doesn't have the peripheral upside, but he's been a little bit better in that regard this year, and he's been scoring, taking a lot of shots. I don't hate Gordon Hayward. I don't know if I'll get to the rest of this team, though. Cody Zeller at 5'9", he's starting to come back down to earth a little bit. And then with P.J. Washington back for Charlotte, that's taken away from minutes for Bridges, and then Rozier being back is taken away from guys like Malik Monk, who, yes, he's still played solid minutes and has been okay, but at 5K I think I can find more secure plays. For Memphis, two questions. One, Joe, is John Morant going to have the ceiling game we're waiting on? Because we keep playing him at this cheap price tag, and the ceiling game hasn't been there. And two, are we going right back to JoVal, who returned to the starting lineup?
Like
yeah, returned to the starting lineup last game, played 34 minutes against his former team, went for 27-20, and now he gets to face a Charlotte team that allows the most rebounds per game to opposing centers, ranks 29th against rebounders, ranks 23rd against skilled centers and rim protectors. And I just love playing centers against Charlotte. So talk to me about those two guys.
I like both of them, and it sounds really odd to say this. I think I prefer Valanciunas over Morant.
No, I feel the same way.
There is a little volatility, but 34 minutes last game, I was shocked to see that, especially with Chris Boucher playing so much for Toronto. I thought they would go a bit smaller and thinner down low for Memphis, but JoVal was just playing so well where they couldn't take him off the court. Charlotte, like you said, has gotten absolutely decimated against centers. In addition to what you said, like you look at their ADVP, 23rd against rim protectors, 23rd against skilled centers, and 29th against rebounders. He should have an absolute field day against Cody Zeller, PJ Washington, and the likes of them. So I don't think I feel confident enough yet to lock him into like a cash game lineup, but I think he is one of the best overall tournament plays on the slate. As for John Morant, $7,300 is a very enticing price. The 37 minutes last game were a really nice, I don't want to say surprise, but obviously, Adam, you and I talked about how the game flows have been affecting his minutes, and I thought we were on the way to seeing that last game. He just shot really inefficiently. So if John Morant can get 35 minutes in this matchup, I would absolutely love him at $7,300. I just don't know if I'll get there in a main lineup with the other options at point guard.
Yeah, and Brandon Clark's already been ruled out again, and we saw Memphis start Desmond Bane. 4,100, he played 26 minutes. He'd get hot from three in this game. I talk about how Charlotte gives up points from three all the time. I wouldn't hate Desmond Bane at 4,100. I think those are the three guys that stand out to me from this team. I'm not going to Gorgui Dieng at 4,200. I don't think I'm going to Tillman. JoVal being back just kind of hurts them, even with Clark out. Javi, anybody else on Memphis stand out?
No, I mean, we need some value, guys. We're talking about some expensive guys. So I don't hate Bane at all, especially if we want to target Charlotte here. So I like that call quite a bit. You know, Melton's going to be out. It's kind of a boost for some other guys here as well. But this doesn't feel like a good game for me to target here. And I like the Jonas call, but I don't think I'm going to get there. So, I just prefer to spend up elsewhere. And I like the spend up on the next game we're probably going to talk about. So,
yeah, let's get to it. Clippers at Timberwolves. A lot of news here. Paul George will be out for the next two games as he continues to nurse a foot injury. Then Carl Anthony Towns, doubtful, so he won't make his return most likely. And D'Angelo Russell played last game with the quad, played 6 minutes, then his leg started bothering him, and he didn't come back. So he's questionable for maybe the 15th game in a row. let's get Kawhi out of the way. 9,400.
He's just too cheap.
Yeah, lock.
I know he was underwhelming last game, but...
Yeah. And I hope people see that. I hope people are going to say, hey, look at Kawhi's last game. Look at his game lock. He sucked. And he had a great matchup against Sacramento. Yeah, okay, guys. You guys go do that. I don't care if he's 80% chalk. I'm playing 100% Kawhi tomorrow. He is 9,400 without Paul George. This team is going to rely on him. I think it can stay close even if D'Lo's out, because we've seen crazier things happen, like Detroit and OKC take the Lakers to overtime and give them a battle. Like, we can see that here too against the Clippers. With no Paul George, it's really just a Kawhi show here. So Kawhi's a lock for me.
Yeah, I mean, 31% usage rate over the last two games for Kawhi with Paul George out those last two games. And just in general, with Paul George off the floor this year, nearly a 33% usage rate, 1.4 fantasy points per minute. I agree, he's too cheap. He shot 9 of 21 last game, still had 10 rebounds. Like, he's going to be much, much better. Do we got anybody else in the Clippers, though? I mean, this is a team I've not liked playing. Lou Williams played 29 minutes last game. Obviously, it's been a rough season for him, but starting to come on a little bit as of late. 5,500 on DraftKings. He sees his usage rate go up by 3% with Paul George off the floor, and he's averaging, 1.1 fantasy points per minute, 27% usage rate.
Yeah. This team.
Decision time.
I know. Oh, God. I mean, I'm going to defer to Javi. Like,
I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's just tough. Like, I'm sorry to cut you off, Joe, but just Reggie Jackson, Lou Williams. We don't know who's going to get the more minutes here. Like,
I would even bake in Luke Kennard in that conversation too, because he handles the ball quite a bit as well.
Yeah, and Terrence Mann. Like, Terrence Mann got minutes last game. He was involved. He was actually a sneaky play that, you know, props to Eddie for calling out. He got 26 minutes against Sacramento. It wasn't even a blowout. It was a close game. So if I go anywhere here, it's going to be Terrence Mann, because he's 3,400. And again, we need value. And, you know, the coach has been saying that he wants to get him more involved and whatnot. So for me, no thanks to Lou and Reggie Jackson. We just don't know who to trust there or what minutes they're going to get. It's really just Kawhi and Mann for me.
See, for me, like, this team, frankly, like, as bad as Minnesota is, like, it's really just Kawhi for me. But my only issue with Kawhi, and this is not me knocking him as a play or saying don't play him, like, I'm building a lineup just to see how these plays we like can fit together. Like, I want him. I want Westbrook. I want Brogdon. I want Sabonis. Like, there are so many plays in that 7 to 9K range that are in really, really good spots where it's going to be tough to make some decisions. I do think Kawhi is probably my top just because of matchup, expanded opportunity without Paul George, and just the simple fact that he's underpriced. But I don't necessarily think he will be extremely high on because of the decisions people are going to have to make.
Before we go to the Minnesota side, I just want to point out that in the player pool for this game, there's a player at 3K on the Clippers named Jay Scrub, and I did not know that until just now, so that's pretty incredible. Hoping we get him on the roster very soon. We can talk about Jay Scrub. Minnesota, obviously dependent on D'Angelo Russell. Towns, we expect to be out. We've seen Anthony Edwards become an NBA player over the last month, finally playing the minutes. The volume has been great. He has like a near 30% usage rate with Towns and Russell off the floor. So if Russell's out again, I have no problem going back to Anthony Edwards at 6,200. It hasn't even mattered. Rubio played 34 minutes last game. Like, I still don't really want to play Rubio. That was kind of an outlier, in all honesty. Maybe he goes back to those 30 minutes, but I've also been playing a decent amount of Naz Reid as of late. Got into foul trouble finally again last game. That price tag is a little scary for me. I know the Clippers don't have a power forward or a center that's going to get him in foul trouble, but maybe Kawhi is that person. Javi, who on Minnesota stands out to you? And I guess it kind of just does depend on Russell's status.
It depends on Russell. If Russell's out, I love Beasley in this spot. I've been targeting Beasley whenever Russell's out, and it's actually worked out a few times, especially recently. You know, he went off last game with Russell leaving at halftime. So I like Beasley quite a bit. You know, no Paul George. I figured Paul George would be covering him if that's the case. I don't see Kawhi covering Malik Beasley, so that's why I like Beasley in this spot. I try not to target against Kawhi defense. The person I do think Kawhi will be on is probably Anthony Edwards. There's a chance that that happens. And if that's the case, it just kind of turns me off on Anthony Edwards altogether. I like to see the kid play. I'm glad that he's panning out for the most part, especially when he hits his shots and the increased usage. But I can't get behind Anthony Edwards in this matchup, especially if I think Kawhi is going to cover him. So Beasley's the guy I prefer, but it all depends on D'Lo.
Big Papa Joe.
I like these players. I like Malik Beasley a lot. I like Anthony Edwards, but this is just not a spot I can target them in. Like, I just can't do it, especially on a 9-game slate with so many other teams in such great spots from a matchup perspective. I can't, with a good conscience, trust the Minnesota Timberwolves against the Los Angeles Clippers. Like, if I had to, gun to my head, it would be Malik Beasley because I think he's the safest play and has the highest floor ceiling combination. And I also don't mind Anthony Edwards for his price, but like Ricky Rubio at 5'8" makes me want to vomit. Like I just can't give $1,000 cheaper and I would still consider not playing him. And then like Naz Reid at 6'3", no thanks. Jared Vanderbilt, I don't feel good enough about this team where I would prioritize him over, you know, half the teams we've already talked about.
Yeah, I'm not, like, for me it's Beasley only if I'm only paying $7,000 from if Russell's out.
That's the only reason. Yeah, that's the only way. Like, you can't even consider him if Russell's in. Like, again, I get Russell's too cheap, but if he's hurt, he's banged up, I think he doesn't play. But if he's out, man, I mean, again, Anthony Edwards against Kawhi, no thanks. It's going to be the Beasley show. Nobody can cover that guy. I mean, it's a coming out party for him. So I like him quite a bit. And I keep interrupting you, so I apologize.
No, you listen, you interrupt me as much as you want, because A, Joe knows I'm the king of interrupting people. So it's like somebody's got to get back at me for it. So you just go ahead. You know what? Why don't you intro the next game, Javi?
Oh, you want me to go into the next game? All right, fine. That's fine. Now you had me distracted. You had me distracted, so I lost my train of thought. No, but I think it's New Orleans and Chicago, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that the next game you guys have? Yeah, so. Yeah. New Orleans playing at a disgusting pace, like a super slow pace.
Don't get me started.
Their defense has actually been very well improved this year. I think it's the most improved, and that it all comes down to Stan Van Gundy coming on board here. But the last few games, if you look at them, they've allowed 109 points, 113 points, 101 points, 118, 126, 120. So they're allowing points. Like, they're allowing a ton of points. The defense is almost going back to last year. But the pace is still slow, which is weird. But Chicago, playing at a fast pace, one of the worst defenses, they're going to make them pace up a little bit. So I like the spot for New Orleans quite a bit. I think this is a good spot. I think it's going to go overlooked. I hate playing Brandon Ingram because he burns me all the freaking time, and he pisses me off because he's cost me a takedown here and there. But you know, at 8,300, I think he's too cheap for this matchup. So I like him quite a bit. You know, he went off against Memphis last game. He plays later tonight on a Hopi bus so that people don't chase him tomorrow against Chicago. But I like the spot for him quite a bit. Zion, he's definitely in play. I wish Steven Adams would just sit, though, because he limits his ceiling for the most part. And like we've seen, the rebounding rate is so down for Zion this year. And yeah. I don't like what I see from Zion this year. I think it might be just Stan Van Gundy's coaching.
It is.
And Steven Adams here. But we haven't seen a ceiling, legit ceiling here. So I think going Zion or Ingram, I wouldn't go both, is the play here. Lonzo Ball, he's seen his price go up. I kind of don't want to go there, even though it's a great matchup for him too. But you want to get exposure from the New Orleans side. As for the Chicago side, never again. Colby White. All right. Yeah, that guy I can't play anymore.
I haven't played him once all year.
Neither have
I played him yesterday, so I don't want to talk about it, guys. But, I thought he was too cheap for the matchup against the Wizards. And if he can't beat the Wizards, he can't beat anyone. So I'll pass. As for Denzel Valentine, he's seen his price now spike to 5,300. I can't get behind that. So really, the Bulls are a little too overpriced for this matchup, for this defense. And I don't want to target the Bulls against the Pelicans, really. Even though the Pelicans are allowing points here, it's really just Zion or Ingram for me.
Yeah, so as Joe knows, I've discussed my hatred for this Pelicans style of offense all year. I think Zion has scored the ball at an insanely efficient rate all year. He's been great. He's actually like top 15 in effective field goal percentage. He's been great. The problem is they're not playing fast, which is where you'd want Zion, and they're not using him in the pick and roll. He has a 5.5% pick and roll frequency rate, which is like one of the lowest rates in the league, which is insane because Zion's like, I don't think you can like put together a player you'd want in the pick and roll more than Zion Williamson, but I will say, you look at Zion the last handful of games, his assists are up a little bit. He's got at least four assists in six of his last seven games. And what a reason behind that, they're actually running him as the pick-and-roll ball handler more the last week or so, which is really interesting. And that's helped his assist rate. I think this is a game against Chicago where a Bulls team that's top three in pace, they'll have to play up in pace in the spot, which is great for Zion, who leads his team in transition points per game, unsurprisingly. When they get out in transition, it's Zion. 8,100.
Holy shit.
I love Sorry. Zion. What happened?
Go ahead. The first NASCAR race of the year, and I just had a takedown. I was sweating it, guys. I'm not going to lie. We're doing this podcast, but I just
live takedown?
A little sweat here.
You talked about tennis on yesterday's podcast, and now we're talking about NASCAR?
Yeah. First race of the year is the Clash at Daytona. It's a little road course and pretty small contest, but I took it down.
Takedown, so live takedown on the pod.
Yeah, live takedown. Yeah,
let's go. Okay.
I just wanted to announce that and brag, humble brag.
No, go for it. Was Jeff Gordon on your team? Is he still race? I don't know anything about NASCAR.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon. No, he has not raced for a few years. But sorry, I got super excited.
Nah, man, that's awesome. Well done, as usual.
Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Joe, when's the last time? When's the last time you shipped a NASCAR tournament?
Never. Last time I played NASCAR, I think I was like top five in a tournament at one minute, and then 3 minutes later, I was like losing all my money.
That's probably a crazy sweat too.
It's ridiculous.
Javi kept his composure.
I interrupted you guys.
No, you're good.
It was great. I took down two tournaments, so a 10K and a 5K. So,
Joe, any other thoughts? I mean, Javi kind of broke a lot of that game down. I really like Zion. I'm fine with Brandon Ingram. It's a great spot for Lonzo and Bledsoe. There is a decent price discrepancy between the two. Bledsoe's $700 cheaper on DraftKings. I think Lonzo has a higher ceiling and relatively similar, maybe a little bit higher of a floor, probably higher floor. And then the Chicago side, the only guy that I really have somewhat interest in is Patrick Williams at 5,500, just because he's going to play 35 minutes with Porter and Markin and Wendell Carter Jr. out. LaVine, I get it, but at 9K, we mentioned so many players in that 8 to 9K range that we'd rather play.
Yeah, I really, really like this spot for both Brandon Ingram and Zion. Obviously, I just don't want to get exposure to both of them in the same lineup. Contrary to Javi, I actually don't mind 6,600 for Lonzo Ball. It just depends if I will get there based on lineup construction, because I want Malcolm Brogdon for less than $1,000 more. But I do think this is a spot where he can absolutely smash with like a 50 to 55 point ceiling here.
Anybody on the Bulls?
No, not really.
Yeah, that's how I feel, Joe. I want to target how bad New Orleans has been on defense, but me either.
All right, fair enough. Let's get out of this game. We will go to Cleveland at Denver. Injury news from this game, Gary Harris and P.J. Dozier still out for Denver. And Larry Nance obviously going to miss some time for Cleveland. Joe, Jokic, Cleveland's defense has been great. Jokic just goes off every
game.
He's
been
now,
better.
So who cares? I don't know if I like him over Luka. And we'll talk about Giannis. But, I mean, if you want to play Nikola Jokic right now, it's probably a good idea.
I mean, Nikola Jokic is 100% matchup proof. I don't think Andre Drummond, Jared Allen combination will kind of waver him whatsoever. It just comes down to, like you said, are you going to prioritize him over Luka, over a mid-tier combination like a Westbrook and Sabonis or a Giannis. I personally don't think I will. But because of that, like, I don't think many at all will. So I think this is a good spot to get him at probably pretty low ownership.
Yeah. I'll probably have some exposure just because I always do. I don't know about the rest of this team, though. Like, Jamal Murray just hasn't – he's having, like, a fine, like, real-life basketball year. But for fantasy, he's been pretty dreadful. And then even with Gary Harris and Dozier out – I think Barton's fine at 5,600, played 39 minutes last game. He's played at least 36 in four straight at 5,600. I think he's a viable mid-range play. Michael Porter Jr. is still kind of tough to trust, and Cleveland's defense has been good this year outside of in transition where they've been bad. Maybe that could bode well for Michael Porter Jr. I don't know. Like, Monty Morris is going to play 27 to 30 minutes, I would say, and at 4,700, he's viable, but for me, it's been Jokic. I think I would rank the Denver side, Jokic, Barton, and probably Monty Morris. What about you, Javi?
This is a tough game for me. Because, again, Jokic, he used to just be a triple-double machine now, and he's kind of come back down to earth a little bit. And Cleveland, you know, they're playing at a slower pace this year. They've actually been pretty solid defensively, surprisingly. This is not my favorite game to target, if I'm being honest with you guys. This is, again, you got to take some stands with a slate like this. It's nine games, and this is actually one of the games that I actually crossed off the get-go. I get the play. There's just other spend-up spots that I prefer more than these guys. Something that we have been doing that's been very successful is targeting against this Denver defense, but it's more like the guards and the forwards. And I don't want to play Sexton or Garland when they're both healthy. I don't trust any of the forwards here. Drummond, great spot, but I don't want to target against Jokic, like I said. So, this is one of the games that I kind of crossed out, guys.
It's interesting with Cleveland. They started Jared Allen and Drummond last game against Phoenix, yeah. And maybe that was because Phoenix had been starting Kaminsky and obviously DeAndre Ayton. I mean, if they do that again, that would be good for Drummond's minutes, but bad for his overall rebounding ceiling. Like, he had 14 rebounds last game, but we know Drummond has the ability to get 20 rebounds. And will he have a chance to do that if Jared Allen's playing alongside him more? Probably not. If I'm not playing Jared Allen regardless, I don't hate Sexton at 7K because Denver cannot protect the rim. They allow the highest field goal percentage in basketball at the rim. Sexton, 17.2 drives per game, is top seven in the league. He's averaging 9.5 points per game off drives. Like, I actually really think Colin Sexton is sneaky in this game. And I think the game is going to be close. I think Cleveland's going to keep this game close with Denver, who I think is a better team, but defensively they've been terrible and they're missing some pieces. So I actually think Sexton's one of my favorite GPP plays of the slate. Other than that, though, like, if you want to go to Drummond at 8,300, he won't be popular. He played 36 minutes last game, could easily smash at that price tag. Joe, you talked about playing him at this price tag with Allen active because nobody really wants to play Andre Drummond.
Yep, 100%. When I say much like Jokic, I'm not comparing Andre Drummond and Nikola Jokic, so please don't assume that. But much like him, the way that Drummond excels in a game, he doesn't, like, the matchup doesn't really deter him. Like, he is going to get rebounds. He's going to score putbacks. Like, he will get a handful of blocks and steals. And at 8,300, you don't need as much as you did when he's $1,000 more. Like, if he was in that $9,200, $9,300 range, I would probably write him off for this game. But I just can't, with a good conscience, write him off at 8,300. I'm not going to say I'm going to have a ton of exposure to him, but I think he's a very solid play at his price. I'm kind of with you, Adam. Like, I actually don't mind this Cleveland team. They are taking on a pretty porous defense, and they're going to need to score to keep up with this team. So I like Colin Sexton a lot. Outside of Sexton and Drummond, I could see myself potentially getting to some Torian Prince. Like, he at $4,600 just falls into that category where if I'm struggling to fill my forward or utility spot and I have $4,600 to $4,800 left, Torian Prince is someone I'd be comfortable doing it with.
All right. Two games left, Oklahoma City and the Lakers. We saw these teams play the other night. Anthony Davis didn't play, and LeBron went off. 28, 14, and 12, two blocks, two steals, and nearly 75 fantasy points. LeBron's probable. Anthony Davis is questionable. He actually sat out with the tendonitis in his Achilles. Could be back. They could obviously be cautious with him, too, in a winnable home game against the Thunder. So this game's kind of easy, right? Like, if Davis plays, you're not as excited about LeBron. I probably won't even get to much Davis. It's a good matchup, but a little bit scary with him legitimately being a little bit banged up right now, whereas it was kind of just they were just listing him as questionable, even though they knew he was going to play. This time, he actually looks like he's banged up. If he's out, feel free to play LeBron as one of the better plays of the slate. Dennis Schroeder gets a bump, who's playing huge minutes right now. And then you'll see,
We just got news, too, during this podcast. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is out.
Yep, he's out.
Yep.
Okay, this game kind of gross now because the Lakers
are just took a massive turn.
Yeah.
And so, here's the thing. A lot of these Thunder players are priced up from the last couple games, right? Like Hamidou Diallo is 6,500. Theo Maledon is down to 4,800, but he's out too. Yeah. Right. So yeah. George Hill's obviously out. All right. Rewind. What do we do with the Thunder? Let's start with them.
I don't want to play the Thunder at all. So I'm probably going to fade the Thunder in this spot unless Anthony Davis is out. If Anthony Davis is out, I made the mistake of not going Bazley yesterday. Roby is supposed to be back too. He's not on the injury report. So I think Roby, if he starts, he's definitely in play because, again, this is a bump for the team. Again, we don't target Marcus All defense, but he only plays like 20 minutes a game. So I think you can target the big man here. LeBron, he should play. He's been crushing it. But I only want interest in LeBron if AD is out. It's really LeBron if AD is out. Plus Kuzma if he starts. Markieff Morris got the start last time, but I think Kuzma's still viable in this game too. The thing that
5,700 for Kuzma scares the living crap out of me.
It does, but if he starts in this matchup and he gets blowout run too, so that's the thing that I like about Kuzma quite a bit. He didn't close out the game yesterday, but it's because it wasn't a blowout. So I do like Kuzma, especially with Shai out here. I don't think they have a chance to stay close. But if the Thunder are only going to dress 8-9 people, it's totally viable. But we got to stay tuned for news, really.
Joe, I think you'll agree with me, but at 4,400, I'll get to some Lu Dort. He just kind of always does just enough, and he should have an uptick in usage this year or this game. He's seen an uptick in usage overall this year, but 4,400, he's going to play huge minutes. But yeah, where else do you go? Like Horford's over 6K, and he's been great when these guys are out. He's been awesome. But like there's a chance, and I know we played 34 minutes last game, but that was the first time he's played over 30 minutes in probably all year. So that's a little bit scary. Plus Roby's expected to be back. I don't know. Like, do you want to pay 6,500 for Hamidou Diallo? Because I don't think I do.
I don't. The thing is, with all these guys out, like, you can justify that price tag. Because I justified that price tag. He was 6K last slate in the same matchup, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played, and he's still at 42 fantasy points. Like, I think this is a fine price for him. The game overall, though, just doesn't feel like one I'm going to go out of my way to target. Like, if Anthony Davis sits, I do like Kyle Kuzma quite a bit at 5,700. Even if, I know he didn't start last game, but that didn't really deter him from his production. Al Horford, I think, would see a massive boost once again if Anthony Davis sits. But if Anthony Davis is in, I don't think I have much interest in this front court whatsoever. I mean, Al Horford took 20 shots last game, 19 the game before that. Like, when is the last time we've seen this volume out of Al Horford?
I mean, Atlanta. He's going to get the
I don't know. I think this game is all contingent on whether or not Anthony Davis plays, because that will open up some plays that I like. If he's active, really the only play I care about, not that I care about going out of my way for, but what I'm comfortable with, is Hamidou Diallo.
All right. Anything else before we go to the last game?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to wait on news, but I mean, it just seems like Hamidou Diallo is going to be running the point here. So if that's the case, Kendrick, I agree. Williams
a bit, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to wait for starters.
Even Kendrick is 47. Like,
I mean, if they have eight players, players.
Eight, 9 players is when you just kind of attack in DFS. Like, that's where you just kind of flock to. So we'll see. All right, close it out with Milwaukee at Phoenix. Got some news here, obviously. Jrue Holiday was a surprise inactive the other night. He's on the COVID list right now. He's already been ruled out for this game as well. He tested positive, correct, Joe?
I believe so.
Yeah, he has. So he's out.
If we would have heard by now if that had a ripple effect for the rest of the team, too, I think.
Yeah, I guess keep an eye on it. This is the late game, too, but definitely keep an eye on it. Then Chris Paul. I mean, the good news, Joe, Devin Booker finally had a ceiling game against Cleveland. bad news is it came with Chris Paul out. Chris Paul's questionable with the hamstring. Booker went crazy. We'll see with Chris Paul. Phoenix in that last game against Cleveland started Etwan, Bridges, Booker, Kaminsky, and Ayton. I would imagine they start the same lineup again because I don't think Cameron Payne's going to be back. He's already ruled out too. So Devin Booker, 8,100 with Chris Paul out. Fast-paced spot against Milwaukee. Is he another guy, if Chris Paul's out, you just kind of play him?
I think so, especially with Drew Holiday out.
Yeah, it's massive.
Because obviously Chris Paul being out would move Holiday from Paul to Booker.
Holiday's out, right?
Yep.
No, I'm saying like,
oh, if, okay.
I'm saying that would have been the case because if Holiday was in and Chris Paul was in, I think Booker would have seen a lot of Middleton. But now with Holiday out, there's no way that he'll see him if Chris Paul is out, which is what the default kind of ripple effect would have been. So I absolutely love Devin Booker, 8,100 again. Sans Chris Paul, we'll see him manage a lot of that offense and run the point. Outside of Devin Booker, like I still think DeAndre Ayton is too cheap. He will have a lot of work to do at the rim against Giannis. But $7,100 without Chris Paul, we saw him put up 15, 16, and 3 blocks last game. I think he's a fine play at his price, just not one I would necessarily go out of my way for. And then we saw more. I mean, Frank Kaminsky came out just scorching in the game, saw 29 minutes and really cooled off by halftime. But I think at, I mean, 4,900, I wouldn't hate that play with Dario still out. And that obviously is all contingent, though, on Jay Crowder's status. If Jay Crowder's in, I think he could rule out Kaminsky's value. But I don't really see a ton of interest in this team outside of those guys I named, though.
What about 3-Twan? If Chris Paul's out, played 40 minutes.
I guess his nickname is 3-Twan. We know where the Bucks struggle. oddly enough, he played 40 minutes, only attempted 1-3. Little odd.
What is this?
But he made it. Etwan Moore.
Etwan Moore.
Okay, yeah. Etwan Moore.
Also known as 3-Twan.
So, I mean, if he starts again, I think he's totally viable at 4,300. Adam, I know you and I have both been pretty high in Cam Johnson this year. Would you rather play Cam Johnson at 4,600 or Etwan Moore at $4,300 if Chris Paul's out?
3-Twan.
Okay. I think obviously Jay Crowder's status has an effect on Cam Johnson too, but I agree.
For sure. So obviously keep an eye on that. But if Chris Paul's out with campaign already out, it's Booker and 3-Twan handling the ball. Like Javon Carter played 19 minutes last game, probably plays like 17 to 20 maybe if Chris Paul's out, but I'm not going to him. I feel safer with the other guys.
Thanks in Galloway.
Bridges is intriguing, but 6,100, like the usage is really never high for him. He's not a high usage player, but he does enough because he contributes everywhere. But 6,100 is a little bit, like, I'd rather play the other players from this team. Though I do love Mikal Bridges as a player overall. Close it out with Milwaukee. Javi, you have Giannis on the slate, 10-6. Phoenix's defense has been good, but.
I'll talk about Joe's team here. Overrated, trash.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. You guys lost to the best team in the world in the playoffs last year. But just kidding. Just kidding, Joe. Just kidding. No, I like this. I like this spot for both Middleton and Giannis. Like, with Drew Holiday out, obviously there's some more usage to go around. And Middleton at 7,900 is totally viable. The only reason I play this game, though, is if Chris Paul's out. And I fear we're not going to get until post-lock, which I'm fine with. Like, that's where you get your edge at because they're going to play at a faster pace. Like, Chris Paul, I don't know if anybody understands this. He plays so freaking slow, right? And this, you know, obviously increases Phoenix's defense and how good they are defensively. Plus, him as a defender is very good too against the point guard. But they play so freaking slow with Chris Paul at the point. So I hope he's out because I would love this game. And I think it's going to go over-owned because no one's going to play this late game hammer here, and it's one of the best ones here. You know, I would smash the over. I would definitely predict this to be a closer game than projected as well. If Chris Paul's out, I need Chris Paul out. If Chris Paul's in, I want nothing to do with this game. If he's out, I think load up Devin Booker. You can load up Ayton. We saw Booker and Ayton with ceiling games when Paul's out because they just play faster. You know, And I love Giannis and Middleton. I think they're both in a good spot here. Giannis at 10-6, I think, is a steal of a price.
Yep.
He busted last game. But again, it's only Milwaukee's that make him play a little faster. But still, they're going to find a way to slow the crap out of this game if Chris Paul's in. That's just the way he plays. Giannis has had two games where he's had two straight games in under 50 DK points. Might scare people off that, but not me. I really want to play Giannis here in the spot, which I think is a close game at 10-6 at cheap price. Obviously, I prefer Luka, but if we get news that Chris Paul's out before lock for some reason, if we do, I'm going to play Giannis over Luka for sure.
Yeah, and even like – okay, so Chris Paul being in, obviously, like you can't play Etuan Moore or some of those players. But like if Chris Paul's in and you kind of wait on it and play Devin Booker – even if you like, you're not screwed if you play Devin Booker. Like the ceiling's not going to be as high, most likely, unless he gets super hot from three. But it's not like Devin Booker. It's not like it's a value option where it's like, okay, Chris Paul's in, you can't play Devin Booker. Like Booker's still going to play all the minutes, so it's like there might be an edge there for sure. Joe from Milwaukee, any interest in Bryn Forbes at 3,800 with Jrue Holiday out? Obviously, DiVincenzo's going to continue to start and get more minutes, but we saw Bryn Forbes. He's 3,800. He played 26 minutes last game. Talented player for sure, and obviously
I like him a lot. I like Bryn Forbes. He's just a little scoring dependent at 3,800. Like I would like a bit more peripheral production. If I'm looking outside of Giannis, Chris Middleton is too cheap. Like I said it on the pod last time. Like you want to target him in what should be competitive games. I think if Chris Paul is in, he makes for one of the best mid tier targets on the slate with this game expected to be competitive. And with Jrue Holiday out, he only sees an uptick in literally every peripheral. I mean, he was two rebounds away from a triple-double last game. He's going to play 34-plus minutes if this game stays close. And $7,900 is a far cry from what he should be. The only knock against Chris Middleton is just how loaded that range is on this slate. But if you take Javi's hedge life into account, if you think this game stays close but you're fading Giannis in a lineup, it might be wise exposure to Middleton. Or if you think Giannis is a down game, obviously Middleton is going to have a good game with Holiday out and Giannis busting. So depending how you script this game, he makes complete sense to play.
Yeah, I agree. I like Middleton a lot. And obviously there's some pieces of news we have to wait and see. But we got a good amount of it prior to Wednesday's slate starting. So content-wise at FTN Daily, what do we got tomorrow?
So we got the bank shot is hosted by David Jones. I did today's bank shot, so he'll be on that. But also from a live stream perspective, we do have Manny, Stefano, and Kyle on for NBA Primetime, which is the first one. And then you got Fast Eddie Fear with the number one Bucks homer right after that, which is Joe Metz himself. But I don't have any writing, but you guys know Joe and I are in Discord probably like – more time than we spend time with our significant others / wives / babies. And I hope they're not listening to this. So
must be nice to have people that love you. Am I right? Cause damn. I don't know. I mean, okay. That came out terrible. I meant a significant other.
Listen, hey, enjoy while you still can.
Right? But Joe will have the game by game article. I'll have the five stats as well. So plenty of content at FTNDaily.com. Javi, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always love coming on the show, talking to my favorite Bills fan and my favorite Bucks fan.
Hell yeah. Still heartbroken. Thanks for reminding me.
Sorry about that.
They would have put up a better fight than the Chiefs, I bet. For sure. Best of luck on this slate, everybody. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back on Wednesday or Thursday for some more NBA action here on the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.